By the way, Dan Patrick with us today, Ben Strusand, the gigantic ruling from the Supreme Court today. If you're elected to the Senate, are you ready to lead the charge to overturn this nightmare?
Absolutely. Today was a very, very sad day for liberty. The Supreme Court abdicated its responsibility to safeguard the Constitution, and it rewrote Obamacare in an attempt to save the law. And I think this decision today underscores the stakes of this Texas Senate race in the July 31st runoff, because the Senate is going to be the battleground on Obamacare. And my opponent, Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst, he's a good and decent man, but he's a conciliator. His approach over and over again has been to cut deals, and now is not the time for conciliation. We need to draw a line in the sand, and I intend to lead the fight to repeal every single word of Obamacare.
Ted, Dan here. We asked David, and we said before we had the Lieutenant Governor on earlier, we're going to ask specific questions of the candidates and similar questions of the candidates, specifically how you see this impacting Texas, specifically what you would replace it with. And part of that, I want to ask you this question. In 2005, you wrote an article for a National Review in which you praised John Roberts. You said the Senate should confirm him swiftly, and you said, as he did as a litigator, his opinion will reflect his own policy preferences instead of rigorously reviews and applies the relevant legal precedents to cases. Do you still feel that John Roberts was the right pick after today's decision? And do you feel, because you praised him highly, you said this guy is the best ever, do you still feel that way?
I think his opinion today was extraordinarily disappointing, and was, I think, quite a shock to just about everyone who had followed the court. He let the country down today.
So let's go back specifically. How does this impact? Because here's what I want to know from both of you, because as we get closer to this runoff, this is an important decision, obviously, that people have to make, that both candidates not only have a plan for the future but know how things impact Texas. So how does this specifically impact taxes, Medicaid policy, citizens of Texas by today's ruling?
The implication of today's ruling is that the Obamacare fight will now be fought in the halls of Congress. We can't count on the court to fix the problem for us. And in my view, Obamacare is not going to go into effect. The bulk of Obamacare doesn't go into effect till 2014, and I don't believe it's going to go into effect, because I think today's ruling is going to energize the Great Awakening that is sweeping this country, that is sweeping Texas. Americans are fed up with the out-of-control federal government, and they're looking for leaders to go to Washington. I think in November 2012, we're going to see the second half of what happened in 2010. We're going to see strong conservative fighters be elected, and we're going to go to Washington, and in January 2013, we're going to repeal every word of Obamacare.
Okay, but
it is going to be a major fight.
Okay. Do you realize that this bill will cost Texas $27 billion? So I want specifics here, because to fix it, you have to know, or Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst has to know, exactly. You can't fix it unless you know how it impacts your home state. So if you're not aware, I want you to become aware and study the issue to know how much money we spend on Medicaid, how many people we have to cover, and what it's going to cost every company and every business. So, Chris, why don't you ask about where you're going in the future, specifically, which we asked Dewhurst.
Ted Cruz with us on The Voice of Texas. So I keep hearing, and so you know, Ted, I'm so sick of rhetoric. I hate rhetoric. And all I've seen today is repeal, replace, repeal, replace. I believe that what I'm looking for in a candidate is a guy that's going to give me some specifics. What specifics would you change, or excuse me, what specifics would you advocate in replacing this current legislation?
Let me answer that three ways. Number one, I am not a fan of repeal and replace. I think those are weenie words that Republicans will use to try to wiggle out of repealing Obamacare in its entirety.
I agree with that.
In my view, it's going to be an epic battle. In 2013, the pressure to compromise, to keep some of Obamacare and to appear oh so reasonable, reaching a middle ground, is going to be enormous. And I intend to lead the fight to repeal every single word of this bill. So I'm not interested in replacing it with anything.
But
wait a minute.
Hold on. But we can say repeal it, but and that's great. But what are we going to tell the American people that we're going to replace it with? Because people all are running around saying we have a broken system, we have a broken system, we have a broken system. Don't you think we're going to have to also offer some specifics and alternatives?
Look, I think we need health care reform, and I have specific proposals that I am advancing, but I believe we should
repeal
Obamacare first. All of them follow the principles of empowering individuals, disempowering government bureaucrats. I think the three that are most important are, number one, allowing the interstate purchase of health insurance so that we create a true national 50-state market of health insurance that lets people buy low-cost insurance that are not burdened down with all the government mandates that politicians put on there that drive up costs. The second reform that I think is important is to expand the use of health savings accounts so people can save for medical needs on a tax advantage basis. And the third reform is to change federal tax policy so we de-link health insurance from employment. Right now, if you or I lose our jobs and we get fired from our jobs, we don't lose our fire insurance, our life insurance, our car insurance. There's no reason you should lose your health insurance. And one of the real problems in the current market is the federal tax system ties our insurance to our employment. And then if you lose your job and get sick, you're left without insurance. We need to have portable insurance that goes with the individual. And all of those reforms are focused on empowering patients and individuals and disempowering government bureaucrats. Obamacare is about putting Washington between each of us and our doctors and in the medical decisions of us and our families.
Okay.
Ted, Ben Struzan, thanks for joining us on Voice of Texas, and we're speaking to Ted Cruz, candidate for the U.S. Senate. Ted, Governor Dewhurst was on in the last hour, and I specifically asked him about these allegations that he opposed the Sanctuary Cities bill coming out of the Texas Senate, and I also specifically asked him about your allegation during the debate that he supported in-state tuition for illegal immigrants. He's denied it both. He denied it again. So I want to ask you, what proof do you have that those positions are in fact accurate, that he opposed Sanctuary City since it did come out of the Senate? And what proof do you have that he opposes, that he supports in-state tuition for illegal immigrants?
Okay, let's take those one at a time, Ben. Let's start with in-state tuition for illegal aliens. This last session, a bill was introduced to end in-state tuition for illegal aliens. The lieutenant governor has complete unilateral authority over where to assign a bill in the Senate. He chose to send that bill to a committee that was chaired by a liberal Democrat, who he appointed as chairman of that committee. The instant he sent that bill to that committee, the chances that it would pass were precisely 0.00%, because that Democrat killed the bill exactly as the lieutenant governor knew that she would do. Now, when he acted to send the bill to a liberal Democrat to kill it, his actions speak much louder than his campaign rhetoric. He says he opposes in-state tuition when it's helpful on the campaign trail, but when he had the opportunity to act to do something about it, what he did instead is he acted directly to kill the bill, and the result was the bill didn't pass.
And then with regard to sanctuary cities?
With regard to sanctuary cities, it's a little bit more complicated game. During the regular session, the bill didn't pass. Lieutenant Governor got an awful lot of heat about it. Then in the special session, the bill did pass, but, you know, there's a game they play in Austin where the House and Senate pass bills in different sessions, and each of them can go campaign and say, we passed the bill, and it never gets passed into law. The lieutenant governor didn't want sanctuary cities to be passed into law. And so, yes, he let it be voted out of the Senate when it was too late to actually get passed into law so that he could tell people he supported it. It's much the same as with in-state tuition. It is empty rhetoric. Here's the fact. It didn't pass into law. And it didn't pass into law because he didn't want it to pass into law.
Okay, Ted, let me... Look, I'm not going to – we asked straight and direct questions to Dewhurst, and we asked straight and direct questions to you and give you both – you've had a chance to respond to the China attacks on the show. And but I got to tell you, Ted, and I've said it before, I was there. And when you say that there's this game being played, you're suggesting that every Republican was in on the game. And that's not true, Ted.
No, you, I agree.
Ted, wait a minute. Wait a minute. No, if you agree with me, then quit saying it. Because the truth is that, Ted, in the special session, we passed that bill, and it sat in the House for 2 weeks. So to say that we passed the bill too late for it to be passed, we passed the bill because special session lasted a month. It sat in Byron Cook's committee. Ask House member Republicans who were on that committee how frustrated they were that it didn't come to the floor for a vote. That was not the lieutenant governor or the senators. That was over in the House. If you want to complain about their leadership, complain about their leadership. And in terms of the in-state tuition, what I will say is that bill, it's an education bill, and it goes to an education committee. And it didn't come out. Brian Birdwell tried to get an amendment on the bill. He couldn't get the votes for it. But I don't believe it was a sabotage bill. That's where education bill, like finance bills, go to finance, et cetera, et cetera. So I just, you know, I don't want to see either campaign lob charges against the other that just have no basis in fact, because there are plenty of things each of you can criticize each other on that probably do. So I just want to clarify that. That's all.
Dan, can I respond?
Sure.
I'd like to make two points in response. One, just to be clear, you have publicly endorsed Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst for Senate. Let me respond.
No, wait a minute. Time out, Ted. That's a lie.
You haven't endorsed
him? I have not endorsed him. Why don't you get your facts straight on that, too?
I have seen you publicly say vote for David Dewhurst for Senate, you have been acting
where look, him. You can, Ted, I'm sorry. You're just flat out wrong. You can look, I endorsed 40 people. That's on my website. I did not endorse David Dewhurst. I have not endorsed David Dewhurst. And I've tried to be a fair and honest broker to both of you, giving both of you time on this station.
Right.
I don't know what else to tell you. I have not endorsed him. If you can find in writing anywhere, somewhere that I've endorsed, because look, if I endorsed him, I wouldn't be hiding it, Ted.
Well,
if I endorsed him, I wouldn't be hiding it. The whole purpose of an endorsement is so people know you're endorsing someone. So let me be very clear, Ted. I'm not endorsing you for the Senate position. I'm not endorsing David Dewhurst for the Senate position. I will be voting for one of you. Okay?
Dan, so if you want me to respond, or do you just want to yell?
Well, don't accuse me of something that's not true. Go ahead.
You have been publicly and loudly advocating on his behalf.
Where?
What a terrific conservative
Where?
He is, which is completely inconsistent with everything you've said during the session. But let me respond to the second point.
Wait a minute, Ted. You know what? You've got a third opponent here suddenly. Because you want to attack me on something I've said?
I'm not attacking you. I'm just saying you are advocating on his behalf.
Give me facts.
All right. For example, you have gone to reporters and said, and this is pretty close to a quote, David Dewhurst has agreed with me on 98% of the matters. Someone who agrees with me on 98% of the matters is a conservative. Do you agree you said that or something very close?
And by
to
the
that?
Way, yeah, Ted, I did say it, and it's true. On 98% of all the legislation I passed, 98%, I've passed over 100 bills. He has supported all but the TSA bill the first time around and the second time around. I can't think of a bill, sonogram, business tax cut, 100 piece of legislation, putting under God in the state pledge, in God we trust in the Senate, everything I've passed, everything I've taken to him. Now, if that makes you uncomfortable, that makes you uncomfortable, but it's just true. I mean, that's
Dan,
a true statement.
Dan,
that's a true statement. Right.
It is true you've said that.
I also think, Ted, I also think you're a fine conservative,
too. Let me respond,
right.
Or you just want to...
I'm just saying, I also
you
think I've said
want,
very positive things about you as well, but continue.
It is true that you've said that. If someone wants to
yes.
look at the
objective... It's not an endorsement.
If someone wants to look at the objective facts, I would point them to a study that the head of the political science department at Rice University did that looked at how often Lieutenant Governor agreed with every member of the state Senate and found that it wasn't actually 98% that he agreed with you, that it was 60%, that in fact, under Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst's leadership, and this is Mark Jones, who's an academic who has I don't even know the guy, but this was his study, he found that there were a number of Democrats, including Royce West and John Whitmire and Chuy Hinojosa, who were 20% more likely to pass their legislation under Dewhurst than were you and the six other most conservative Republicans in the Senate. And those are the statistics on his analysis.
Yeah, well, let me explain something to you, Ted, since you brought that up. You're talking about a professor at Rice who doesn't understand how the legislative process works, and I'm beginning to think that you don't. Because let me tell you the difference, and you can make numbers lie. What I said when I was asked, David Dewhurst has supported all the conservative legislation I passed except one bill that I can remember. All right? And secondly, there are a lot of bills that I, or you know, I'm the most conservative member in the Senate with Brian Birdwell. There's a lot of legislation that we bring up that doesn't pass because it doesn't have the votes, Ted. It doesn't have the votes. But you're a fighter.
Two-thirds rule, which you've repeatedly campaigned against, and right. David Dewhurst keeps in place, which is why your bills and Senator Birdwell's bills fail, because you don't get Democrats.
Ted, once again, you don't know the legislative process. Do you know who votes on the 21-vote rule? Does the lieutenant governor vote on that or the senators?
Look,
I'm asking you a question. You make an accusation.
Who decides the 21-vote rule? Do you want me to actually ask the question you asked?
Well, no, because, Ted, look, you are very talented.
You can engage in a Senate debate on behalf of David Dewhurst.
You can show up.
He's unwilling to show up to a debate, but you could show up in his place. To be honest, you, Dan, have showed up to more Senate debates than David Dewhurst has. That may or may not be true, but it's pretty close to true. Because
Ted,
he's not willing to defend his own record. Hold on, let me respond to your other question. I mean, if you're going to filibuster me.
I'm not filibustering.
There were two questions.
You made a charge, and it was not true.
There were two questions that were asked. Number one was an in-state tuition. And number two was on sanctuary cities.
Right, we passed it.
Let me just read from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, because you claim, no, David Dewhurst didn't do anything. He was innocent. He purely supported.
I don't agree with him on everything. We have our arguments. We've had our fights. You seem to miss the point. I can disagree with somebody.
Dan, I can disagree. This is your radio show. If you just want to talk, you can.
No.
If you would like me to speak, I will.
Go ahead.
I just want to read from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram on June 29th, 2011. Perry took the extraordinary step, this is a quote, of publicly trouncing a prominent member of his own party, and he's talking about Dewhurst. House Speaker Joe Strauss joined in, saying, the governor, lieutenant governor, and I reached a consensus to attach compromised anti-sanctuary cities language to the budget funding and school finance bill. Unfortunately, the Senate failed to fulfill its commitment. Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst was silenced.
Ted, you just don't know what you're talking about here.
Dan,
I'm sorry.
I'm reading from the newspaper. I'm sorry if the public record is inconvenient for the story you're trying to tell defending David Dewhurst.
No, I'm not trying to defend him, Ted. I'm trying not to defend him. I'm trying to tell you what happened and what a writer says, just like a professor. You know, you're quoting writers and professors. Let me tell you what happened. The House wanted us to attach sanctuary city bill to the school funding bill. And we would not have been able to pass the school funding bill if we had attached sanctuary cities to it, because the Democrats would have killed it. And our school districts that already didn't have a budget, Ted, in July, because they didn't know if they were going to be $4 billion short or $6 billion short or $2 billion short, it would have been pushed off to another special session in August, which could have really impacted our schools. So we in the Senate, the Republicans, by the way, Ted, all 19 of us met. And we agreed we are not going to attach Sanctuary City to school funding because it will crash school funding, which is going to make it more difficult on hiring teachers back and opening schools. What we decided was the education bill should stand on its own, and we will pass Sanctuary Cities on its own, and we passed Sanctuary Cities on its own. We separated them and passed them both. Otherwise, we would have had another special session in August, and it would have really impacted the school. So, look, you weren't there. You don't know. You can't be held responsible for that. But I would suggest before you go off grabbing what some writer or some professor says, ask somebody. Just call and ask. I've offered you help before, as you know. I've said, hey, you got any questions, I'm happy to help you.
Just like when you talked about the 21-vote rule,
you're just wrong.
Dan, every time I go on radio, you ask the questions that the Durham campaign wants you to ask, and then
Ted,
your interview is put in their ass.
Ted, and let me tell you
you're
something.
You're an effective surrogate. You defend him far better than he does.
Yeah, look,
I will
Ted,
give you
look,
that.
Ted,
let me ask you this question, Dan.
Okay, you can ask me a question, but let me respond. Because unlike, and maybe David isn't as fiery as I am, maybe he doesn't respond in a debate. He has a different style. But when you level a charge against me, I'm going to respond. So you've leveled several charges here. They've all been wrong, by the way. But you've just said that I get questions from the David. I ask my own questions. Don't sit there and suggest that. That's just not true, Ted. Look, you're a better man, because I do respect you and I do like you, and you are a conservative. And look, you've done some good things. You're a better man than to go along these attacks. Just lay out what you want to be. Why do you have to attack everybody who disagrees with you or tells you you're wrong? Maybe that's the training of a lawyer.
Dan, it is a very funny thing.
But go ahead.
But the lieutenant governor thinks that when anyone points to his record, it is an attack. Let me give you two specific examples. In the debate on Friday, the lieutenant governor twice looked at the TV cameras and told flat-out falsehoods to the voters of Texas. He said, number one, quote, I have never supported a payroll tax. And he said, number two, that he had, quote, never supported a guest worker program. Both of those are flat-out false, and his record, indeed, after he said those knowing they were false, we put out on the payroll tax over 24 articles contemporaneous with the lieutenant governor repeatedly supporting a payroll tax, and we put out, in fact, a press release from his office, at the top, Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst praising the passage of a payroll tax. Likewise, on guest workers, he said, and the word he said is, I have never supported a guest worker program. We put out, again, from his own website, a speech he gave in 2005 when he called for a guest worker program for everyone who's here illegally. Now, his response when anyone points to his actual record is to scream that they're liars. And I'm curious if he thinks his own website is the liars, because it's his own website that lay out his record.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, Dan, it is not attacking.
Yeah, well, Ted, I'm not here defending him. I don't know about those two. I do know, and I don't like to quote newspapers, but I do know that the Dallas Morning News and Austin American Statesman said that their research of him supporting an income tax was not true, and that your attacks on that were not true. That was the Austin American Statesman, Dallas Morning News. So I don't know what your research is. I'm not getting involved in all that. All I'm saying, Ted, I asked you a simple question, and you launched off and attacked me for no reason. I asked you a simple question about health care, but time out. Wait a minute, Ted. When you say other people get mad, all I did was clarify the facts on sanctuary cities, which I don't think you are intentionally trying to mislead people on those facts. I just don't think you knew, because you didn't call and ask anybody. And all I did was straighten out the fact. Just like when people have criticized you on things, I've straightened out those issues for you. I've told people you're a good conservative. I think you're very bright. I think you have a great future. All those things. But you just can't go launch out on attacks on people without the facts. And that's it. That's it.
Dan, every statement I've made is based on the facts. And I understand the lieutenant.
You made several statements about me today.
You
made several statements about me today that are not factual. And you continue to say.
You have been acting as a surrogate for the lieutenant governor
for
several months, and I have seen you do so.
Ted, I'm glad you're watching me. I thought you were out of campaign. Look, I'm calling it as I see.
I've tried to ask repeatedly.
Yeah, sure.
If you, Dan Patrick,
right,
had been lieutenant governor.
Right.
Do you believe sanctuary cities would have passed in the law, a ban on sanctuary cities?
Okay. If I had been lieutenant governor, all right, I would have done exactly the same thing that happened. I would have passed sanctuary cities out of the Senate without using the 21 vote rule, which he does have power over in the special session. He doesn't have power over that in the regular session. If he wanted to kill that, Ted, he would not have removed the 21 vote rule in the special session. He removed the 21 vote rule in the special session. He warned the Democrats, Ted, in the regular session, that if you block this, if we have a special session, I'm going to take down the 21 vote rule. That's just the truth, Ted. Now, look, there are
You didn't answer my question.
Yeah, but no, I'm answering the question. I'm answering the question.
Governor, would it have passed in the law? Would it be law today? Yes or no?
No, Ted, had I been lieutenant governor or Brian Birdwell been lieutenant governor or you been the lieutenant governor? It wouldn't have passed into law because the only thing you can do, Ted, is pass it out of the Senate. And it passed it out of the Senate. If you got a beef with somebody, you got a beef with Joe Strauss. It's
Dan,
that. Look at the date it passed.
Went to die, yeah. And David Dewhurst did not want this bill to pass. And I guarantee you, if Dan Patrick had been lieutenant governor, this bill would have passed because you care about this bill.
I do care about it.
You're willing to fight for this bill.
Right.
And David Dewhurst is not willing to fight.
Ted, look.
If you'd been lieutenant governor, it would be law. And it's not law because the lieutenant governor didn't want it to be.
Again, Ted, I think that maybe they're beating a dead horse on China. I think you're beating a dead horse on this issue. I think the public is tired of both of you guys arguing with each other. I think they're tired of you being combative to everybody who disagrees with you or points out anything. And I think they're tired of attacks from him. They want to hear from two guys who are going to lay out their positions of what they're going to do as a senator of the United States. And what I would ask both of you is give it a rest, for crying out loud. Okay. Ted, just so you know, I've told his campaign they need to give the China thing a rest. Okay?
But let's be very clear in terms of giving it a rest. Dewhurst has spent over $10 million of his own money flooding the airways with false, nasty attacks about me. If you look at the ads we're running, they're talking about my record fighting for U.S. sovereignty, fighting for the Constitution. We're not running attack ads. He is running relentless.
Now, Ted, that's not. Look, Club, you may not be in your campaign, but Club for Growth and Jim DeMint's group and those groups that are supporting you.
And I have no control over what they do.
Well, I know, but to sit there and say, my campaign, technically you're right. Your campaign has not attacked.
I am responsible for what...
Ted, let's end this interview with this agreement. You're not responsible with your surrogates do, right? In attacking Dewhurst, correct? Well, he's also not responsible for passing a bill out of the Senate that doesn't pass in the House.
Let me say this in closing. I think your assessment of the lieutenant governor right after he killed the TSA bill. When you angrily denounced him on the floor of the Senate, and you said publicly, and this is not an exact quote, but it's pretty close, that this is a man whose leadership does not belong in the U.S. Senate if he's not willing to stand up and fight on this. And that's a pretty close paraphrase.
You quoted me accurately or close, and I was pretty upset. And you know what? I went to him afterwards, and I said, when we get to special session, Governor, I said, you were wrong on this. I'm going to ask you to let's work on a better bill, because he had some questions about the bill. Let's work on a better bill. I'm going to ask you to go to Perry and ask him to put it on the special session, and I'm going to ask us to pass it out. And he did. We worked on a better bill. He went to Perry. Perry put it on the special. Had Dewhurst not done that, I'd still be mad today. Look, you've made some mistakes in the courtroom. You go back and say, hey, you know what? I lost that case. I didn't do too well today. Now, look, I don't agree with Dewhurst on every issue. Now, he supported all my issues, like I said, but I didn't agree with him on that, and we've had our good discussions and differences. That's a part of politics. You're not going to agree 100% of the time with anybody. And I'm not defending him, and I'm not endorsing him, regardless of how you want to phrase it, and I'm not defending or endorsing you. I've told people on this show, I've said, just because Ted took up this China case, doesn't mean he's anti-American or a communist. Doesn't mean that. I mean, you're a lawyer. You did what you thought you had to do, and that's whether people agree or disagree.
Thank you for agreeing I'm not a communist.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying that people, out there who say those things. You know, look, you're getting criticized now because you've never been active in Republican politics in Harris County. And I said, look.
All right, the idea that I haven't been active in Republican politics is utter nonsense, and it's a silly attack and lie that the Dewhurst campaign is spreading.
No, it's what
it's absolutely false.
Well, Ted, you don't want to go down that road. So I I've been involved in almost every cause in Harris County for the last 10 years, long before I was in office. And I never turned around, looked over my shoulder, and saw you. and I've never seen you block walk for anybody, and I've never seen you at any of the many Republican events we've had. I've never seen you at a Tea Party rally until you ran for office. So that's and you know what? When people make that criticism, and you know what I tell people? I said, but that shouldn't be a negative. That shouldn't be a negative.
You literally had five in a row that are completely false. I have been at Tea Party rallies all over the state of Texas from the day the Tea Party launched. When the Tea Party started on April 15, 2009, I spoke at the Fort Bend Tea Party. Simultaneously, my dad was speaking at the Dallas Tea Party. So the idea that I haven't been at Tea Parties is even in your efforts to support Dewhurst as a threat.
I'm just saying I haven't seen you in Harris County, Ted.
I wasn't living in Harris County. Yes, you're right. I was not active in local politics in a city in which I was not living. I was active in state politics. I was active campaigning. I mean, I have been working and supporting Republicans and fighting for conservative principles my whole life.
Okay.
So, yes, there are lots of cities in which I wasn't living, where I wasn't active in local county politics.
Okay. Ted, look, we need to wrap this, as I've said before, and I've told everybody, you know, both of you are fine people. Both of you are conservatives, you know, both of you are. You've got a track record in the courtroom. He's got a track record in the legislature. People will make a decision. But as I've said to him and his campaign, it's time to let China to rest. People can make that decision. I think for you it's time to put some of your attacks to rest. I think today, look, we're going to have some people listening today that think this is rather extraordinary because they're going to say, you know, who's Ted Cruz running against, David Dewhurst or Dan Patrick? But I didn't start this fight, Ted. We invited you on, and you launched out and said, Dan, you have publicly endorsed David Dewhurst. And since it's not true, I had to tell you. But you are correct. I said he supported 98% of my legislation. I mean, what am I supposed to say? No, he hasn't. He has. That's not an endorsement. And so, Ted, you just look. You're a bright guy, okay? Lay out your plan. Go run a positive campaign. It's the same thing I'm telling Dewhurst. Tell people what you've done and what you're going to do. And quit attacking each other. People are sick and tired of it, Ted. They're tired of it.
Dad, I appreciate your passion on conservative issues. And I will say this. In the last 30 minutes, you have engaged on substance more than David Dewhurst has in over a year. And perhaps, I commend you for the passion in that, and I understand how different life would be if David Dewhurst were no longer in the Texas legislature, if he were in Washington instead. I understand that. I commend you for your passion, and I'm glad you're willing to engage. I wish Dewhurst were willing to have this discussion back and forth, but he's not.
Well, I'll have the two of you on. I'll see if I can get the two of you on for 2 hours here. But I wish you guys would talk about substance and what you want to do and not attack. It's just, you know, look, you're both good.
Every discussion I've had has been based on substance. He attacks me personally. I focus on his record, and I'm not...
Okay.
He's going to be held accountable for his record because this election is not going to be about rhetoric. It's too important. And going back to the Obamacare decision today, you want to talk about the central question Texas voters had is what senator is going to stand up and lead the fight? You know to an absolute certainty in your heart, Dan, that in the Senate on Obamacare, David Dewhurst would compromise because when push comes to shove, that's what he's done over a decade.
Ted, I'm not going to let you tell me what I think. You know, here's what I think. I think both of you are fighters. I think you are an excellent orator, okay? I mean, I think you're excellent. I think you give a great speech. And there's no question in my mind, Ted, that if you're elected to the Senate, you'll be a fighter. There's no question. But there's also no question in my mind he will be. I mean, to sit there and suggest a guy who volunteered for Vietnam, who served in the CIA, and who's fought in the legislature for 10 years isn't a fighter? I think it's an insult to him.
What he has fought.
But you guys are going to be different
stuff.
Rick
Perry and Tom Craddock, and he's fought.
See,
you.
Here you
he's
go.
To kill conservative Ted. Legislation.
Yeah.
And listen.
Here you go again. You're just always in attack mode. You're just always attacking.
Why is talking about the record an attack?
Well,
I mean, why is our candidates like as I pointed out. Are we supposed to just in the debate have him look at the TV cameras, say things that are objectively false, and
I mean,
why do you think the voters are so disgusted with these career politicians that they just say what they want to say when their
I think they're disgusted with anybody who look. I don't think you know. I haven't talked to you in a while, you know. But one of the things I think you ought to stop doing. I think you ought to stop saying that Rick Perry is supporting him because he wants to get him out of the state. Because let me tell you what, Rick Perry is still the governor, and if you win, you're going to be the senator. You need to have a relationship with people. You just attack everybody. I mean, just because someone says something positive, they're bad. Look,
I'm not attacking you, and I'm not attacking Rick Perry.
Well, let's leave it at that. Well, let me tell you, when you accuse the governor of supporting him because he wants to get rid of him.
You're a conservative, and Rick Perry is a conservative. David Dewhurst is not.
Okay, well,
David Dewhurst has battled at every stage.
Okay, well, look,
higher spending and higher taxes, and against conservative policies. And the record over and over and over again, you go every single session, Dewhurst has pushed more spending, increased Medicaid spending, higher taxes. I want a payroll tax. I want a wage tax.
But Ted, you keep repeating things that just, again, we cut the budget $15 billion last session without raising taxes.
Okay, no, you didn't, and those are accounting tricks.
Wait a minute, Ted. Now you're accusing me of not telling the truth. And let me tell you something. David Dewhurst may have a quieter personality than I have, but I'm not going to let you sit here and call me a liar or the other Republican. Because now you're taking on the entire Republican. You're taking on every Republican House member and every Republican senator. Let me tell you what. We worked really hard for 7 months while you were campaigning. We worked really hard for 7 months. We cut the budget by $15 billion real dollars, Ted. $15 billion real dollars. We saved the rainy day fund, and we didn't raise any taxes. Now, if you want to call that, I don't know where you're getting your facts or your information, but you need a new research team.
Okay, well, let me.
Because now you're going to battle stations with every senator and every House member, the governor, the lieutenant governor, and the speaker of the House, who worked really hard to be conservative in cutting the budget by $15
billion. Dan, I understand that the Dewhurst campaign desperately.
No, Ted. Let me answer you. Quit yelling at me, Ted. Hey, Ted. Look, you want to yell at other people? Fine. Don't yell at me. Look, you made a charge that we didn't cut the budget, and I'm just telling you we did. And this has nothing to do with Dewhurst running for the Senate.
Do you want me to answer to you? Or do you just want to give monologues? Look, it's your show. You can give a two-hour monologue.
You know, you've had a pretty good. Hey, we're running out of time here, but go ahead. I'll give you the last word.
I understand that the Dewhurst campaign very much wants to hide his record behind that of other conservatives. Let's be very clear. This last budget did not balance the budget because what the legislature passed used 24 months of revenue to pay for 19 months of expenditures, which means come January, there's 5 months of expenditures that haven't been paid for. This last budget was smoke and mirrors, and that's why Dewhurst is campaigning on budget cuts that are a phantom, that do not exist. And every past budget that Dewhurst has passed has always come in and had to be jacked up. It's why when David Dewhurst was elected, the state budget was $116 billion. In 2010, it was $188 billion. That's a $72 billion increase. Now, you can have every counting trick in the world, but a $72 billion increase is not a spending cut. And the cuts in the last budget were phantom cuts,
Ted,
on paper
at the end of the biennium will not be there. You just don't know what you're talking about. Look,
are any of those numbers inaccurate? Those are from the LBB. Look, those are official numbers.
Ted, quit yelling at me. We made real cuts to the budget, and the only dollars that we moved back were Medicaid spending dollars. And let me tell you what. You know who was one of the chief architects of that? Me. And you know why?
Which number was inaccurate that I gave, Dan? Was any of those numbers inaccurate?
Ted, we moved back. No, the numbers that you gave were not inaccurate, but it's part of the total cut. And you're suggesting it was not smoke and mirrors. We cut real dollars, Ted, out of the budget. And what I made the decision, I was the only senator, only Republican on finance who voted against spending the rainy day fund for future programs. And the reason is, Ted, none of us knew 2 years ago where the economy was going. I didn't want us to be left with $2 billion. I wanted us to save as much, and we saved all the rainy day fund. And I eventually rallied people on the Senate floor to do that. And we kept the rainy day fund knowing that we had some Medicaid dollars that we're going to have to pay when we return. But we always do that, Ted. Look, I'm one who believes we should have a session every year because it's tough to pass a two-year budget. That's a whole other story. But you always have adjustments to the budget when you pass a budget 2 years out. That's always a part of every budget, Ted. It's not smoke and mirrors. That's what happens. The good news is, Ted, our rainy day fund is growing because of oil and gas revenues. The good news is we saved the rainy day fund. And the good news is when we get back there, we have the money to pay those things. But we cut real money, Ted. Again, look, there are things you can criticize Dewhurst
I commend you for fighting for conservative principles. You are passionate and you have fought hard for
And you are too.
And I commend you in particular for doing so in a difficult situation with a lieutenant governor that doesn't want to stand and fight for those conservative principles.
Ted,
and so I commend you. And at the end of the election season, before the election season, your views on the lieutenant governor were different. And I think at the end of the election season, they will be too. And so, look, I commend you for your passion. Yeah. Thank you. Thank
Thank you for being on. But as a friend, because I've known you a while, as a friend, my counsel to you is, if you are elected senator, you got to work with people. And to get elected senator, the best way, if you want to get elected, is to be a positive person about the good things you've done, the good things you're going. But if every word is
has been based on my record of standing and fighting for conservative principles for the past decade, fighting for the Constitution, and in terms of working with people, we have seen conservatives unite behind this campaign at an extraordinary level. We've seen Tea Party leaders, Republican women, the grassroots.
We have a lot of the same supporters, are supporting you, and some are supporting David. And look, we have a lot of the. At the end of the day, I want a senator who's going to go up there and fight and do a great job. I think both of you are good people, and I think the people have a decision to make. We're out of time. Hey, Ted, thank you. I hope you now have the facts straight, at least on all the questions you asked me. I haven't endorsed you. I haven't endorsed him. We're going to continue to tell the truth and set the facts as we see them, and that's what we're going
to
do.
And I agree we should look to the facts. Thank you for your passion.
Thanks, Ted. Well,